been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win.
It's 4 o'clock on Thursday, and we're broadcasting to you live from the Shrimp Tank Podcast right here in Houston, the show where we interview Houston's best and brightest interviews about the do's and don'ts of building, growing a successful business. And we are in studio today with Sean O'Hearn of Blue Bonnet Custom Homes. Let me go ahead and introduce everyone. How you doing today, Sean?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, and joining me, co-host on the show, Mr. Tom Glover.
Hello, glad to have you here, Sean.
Thanks. Yeah, thank he you. Said he was down Houston like 30 minutes ago and had to fly up here about 95 miles an hour to make it on time.
Toll road's quiet this time of day, and so I broke speed records.
Yeah, and Catherine Bates of Provident Wealth Advisors is here with us in the studio. Welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes, glad to have you on the show. Mm-hmm. And the show that we're going to talk about today is Tom's business, but more importantly, we want to just give you a broad overview of what the Shrimp Tank is. The Shrimp Tank also brings you pitches from new business ideas of young entrepreneurs all across the state of Texas to see whether their business will sink or swim in the tank. And you know what, guys, I want to give a shout out today for Chip Matthews, with the Sam Houston State University Entrepreneurship Degree Program. Chip is a regular host on our show, and he's not in today. And also Jamie Collins, the director of the Entrepreneurship Degree Program at Sam Houston State. I think these guys are brilliant. They figured out how to take our the knowledge and wisdom that comes out of the Shrimp Tank and integrate that into the Entrepreneurship Degree Program. And when we met there, they said, you know, textbooks are great and wonderful, but where their students really like to learn is where the rubber meets the road in real life and meeting people. So fall semester will be starting soon, and we'll actually have students that appear on our show here. So I don't know. What about you guys? I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yes,
I am really looking forward to that. I really am impressed with their program. Most people start a business, just go into it kind of on their own, and this program teaches people how to do that up front and gives them a much higher degree of success, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. So we know in the United States that most jobs are created by small businesses. And, you know, typically you had to just go out and train and figure that out yourself and learn about yourself, about how to grow a business. But now there's actual degree programs for that. I think that's kind of exciting. So why don't we jump in a little bit just to get to know you, Sean, and Blue Bonnet Custom Pools, and just give us a little background. Tell us a little bit about your company and what you guys do.
Well, we build custom swimming pools. That's the name, Blue Bonnet Custom Pools. Not the cookie cutter type so much, but really anything that's what people can see in their backyards is what we can create for them. And that's what we've done for many, 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 many years. Started at a very young age of 16 years old, working for my father, who was a pool builder. And so I'm second generation, and now my son, Ryan, is third generation. So it's been my whole life of doing what I was taught to do and what I grew up doing.
And he's really good at it. So in full disclosure, Sean installed my pool about 8 years ago. And what I was really impressed with is that we didn't know what we wanted. And we just kind of, my wife and I just kind of said, you know, we maybe would like this, we'd like that. Sean figured out how to get out of our brain onto a piece of paper exactly what we wanted.
That's where I'd struggle. I would have no idea. I'd know what I want. But
so we saw a concept drawing from your team, and it was perfect. We didn't change a thing.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah, right out of the gate. He knew exactly what we needed and wanted.
Well, the first meeting is that's what it is. It's a fact-finding mission. I tell our customers, I want to see what you're seeing. Whether you know what you're seeing or not, what we'll do is we'll take your ideas and incorporate them with our ideas and build your swimming pool.
So, Sean, do you come from a design background? Is it who does your designing? Is that you yourself?
No. We have someone who we do 3D drawings now. Back when we were building Tom's pool, we had a young lady that did it for like 15 years and was just gifted.
Right.
And the information I took back to both of these design people right now, it's the same thing. I gather the information, give it to them, and then with their the gift that they have to create, they put it on paper or they put it on a, we do a 3D thing now with the house in it and the whole color thing and
wow.
day and night. It's pretty amazing. It's got the technology today is just amazing.
Well, what you gave us was a 2D color drawing, though, but like I said, it was absolutely, it nailed it. We are in the backyard all the time, almost every day.
Look at his tan, will you, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, he's talking about working in the yard. I don't know. I think he's up there with an umbrella drink, you know.
And, you know, every now and then my wife and I will look at each other and we'll look at the pool and we'll say, you know, there's nothing we would ever change about this pool. It's just, it's a centerpiece of our yard and we
love
it.
Very lucky.
Very relaxing back there.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it always works out like that. You know, people, you know, don't always have a great experience with building a pool. But Sean, when we were, you got here a little earlier, we had a chance to visit chat. I don't know. What's the rumor that you were maybe born in a pool or your parents, you know, got you started there or something like that?
I mean, I don't know about that part. But yes, absolutely. My mother and father met swimming in high school. And my father went to the University of Washington on a diving scholarship when he went before the war.
Pool's in the blood.
It's in there. It's just all about the water. So yeah, we swam competitively as kids. I'm the oldest of 10. So we had, you know, we had a swimming team, not only a baseball or basketball team and some other teams. But anyway, we were around water all the time.
So you said University of Washington as in Seattle?
Yes.
Oh, I grew up in Renton, which is right down there, the road. Well, yeah,
he's a Husky. Or he was.
Yeah, well, I wanted to be a Husky, and they weren't accepting freshmen when I was ready because they were so full.
Yeah.
So he said he started at 16, and without disclosing your age or anything like that, it's decades and decades that you've been in this business. So what we're excited about on our show...
Shame on you.
we're gonna tap into Sean's intellectual capital, is knowledge and wisdom on the Shrimp Tank podcast here today. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest interviews and entrepreneurs. And don't forget, you can always download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So let's jump on in. And Tom, you've got a couple of questions, things lined up
I have a few things to circulate through. So, Sean, it's always interesting to me when I hear people say, yeah, we've put a pool in our backyard, and so our house is worth another $50,000 or something like that. And a year or so ago, I became a licensed realtor, so I see the other side of the spectrum where pools don't really add to the value of your house. I was curious about your perspective and what you hear and see and all of that.
Well, we hear that. Can we get our money back? That's pretty much the big question the homeowner will ask us, and the answer is no. Maybe half. It just depends on if this is the deal maker. We've had customers that have sold their houses that I've built two and three pools for. A certain customer. It's rare, but it's also really nice when that happens. But they'll say the first thing they wanted to see was the pool. So pools can be a real deal maker.
I think it was for us.
Houston, I gotta say, guys, that's not been my experience. And I've built and owned three pools, and I felt like we didn't build a pool and try to sell our home in a year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We stayed there, and in every case, we got all of our money back out. And not only that, we sure enjoyed the heck out of it
enjoyed
while we lived
it,
there.
Yeah.
So I think there's two options there. There are people that will want to buy the house because they love the pool. And there are people who will walk away because they hate the pool or they don't want a pool, period.
That's very true, Tom. That it can be a deal breaker, especially size. We always take time to explain to our customers that you can't build a postage stamp back here, but you certainly don't need a boat. You don't need something that's, you know, something huge.
Take up
the whole yard, some giant. Because first of all, it's a lot of water to take care of. You know, but it needs to fit the yard. It needs to fit their family. So we spend time asking the questions, you know, how many children do you have? How old are they? How long are they going to be here? The friends are going to be coming over. Family's going to be coming over. So the pool's going to get a use.
Yeah.
And which is what they really want it for, is because they want to, first, what I hear mostly is that we want to be able to have our kids at home so we can kind of keep an eye on them as they grow older.
Yeah.
Which it does work as that tool, too. Mm.
So that's one of the things you were really good at, Sean, is discover you asked the right questions and you were able to get from us what we needed and fit that vision.
Yeah, I went to look at a couple of houses, obviously, because, you know, Tom's my realtor. He knows that I've bought a house. And some of the pools in their gardens, the whole pool was the garden. you literally sort of tiptoe around the edges because there was it was too small for the size of the balls, and it was just those were deal breakers for us.
Well, I think if you try to learn what your customers' needs are and what their wants are, what their budget is, it's hard to ask what's your budget because then they think you're trying to raise the price on them. But we try to get a feel.
You need to know so you know what to suggest. Yeah. So what my takeaway from what you're saying here, Sean, is get to know your client. And this is a show for entrepreneurs, and I think that applies for all of our businesses. Get to know your client, because at the end of the day, if we're business owners, we're solving problems for people, and you can't solve problems you don't really completely understand what they are. And it sounds like part of the success that you've experienced at Bluebonnet Custom Pools has been exactly that, Sean.
And our theory has been over many, many years, my theory is that this one sells the next one.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it absolutely is the truth. It works that way. Yeah. It really works that way. If they have 10 people can say something really good about you, or 10 people can say something really bad about you. And I would rather have them say good things about us and how we do our work and how we perform.
Well, I met you because of a referral from a home builder, and he said that you had the best reputation that he'd ever experienced.
Really?
Yeah. So,
what's his name?
Jim Anderson. He's retired now, but
golly,
Jim Anderson,
I think we ought to go ahead and plug your phone number and website right here. Why don't we do that? What's the best way for somebody to reach you, Sean, for your company?
They can go to bluebonnetcustompools.com. And that is our website, and it gives all of our contact numbers there. And you can see a gallery of the pools we've built over the last, 10, 15 years. Some of them, some brand new. Some
pictures.
Of them pictures.
I was disappointed mine wasn't on there.
Yeah.
You need to come and get a picture with all
the because you were laying out with the Speedo out there when they took the picture.
Okay. I was going to say that, but I thought, no, they won't understand what I'm talking about.
He went there. You were
they had to sack the picture because
Speedos.
Tom had his umbrella drink and his Speedo.
Speedos.
And, that isn't going to work.
I didn't think you had those in Texas.
We're going to talk after the show, Dan.
I tell you what I want to get into next. I want to talk about the local economy and how that's impacting your business. You know, Texas has been this booming economy now for several years, but we're also a little bit in the midst of a contraction due to the energy business. Tell us a little bit, Sean, about how that's impacting you and Bluebonnet Custom Pools.
Well, I think it has some over the years, especially when the oil thing happened, but that was years ago. But at the same time, in today's market, there are different levels, if you will, of the high end pools to the medium sized pools to the plain vanilla, if you will. Those there is a market for all of it. We can do all whistles and bells or plain vanilla, and that's kind of how we approach it. And we try to, again, finding out the needs of the customer. We do direct them to our website. They say, I saw this pool on there, I really like this pool that you've built, can we do that? Absolutely. We can do any pool, and we can do anything you want. We'll build you anything you want. It's just a matter of
So, what sidebar for entrepreneurs, your website can definitely be a good marketing selling
good
tool.
Good point, Tom.
Absolutely. You need to spend the money and do it and do one right and get the right people building it for you and maintaining it. And you saw it. I mean, you all have seen it. I think you all have seen it. But
I don't think it helps you. I don't think it helps the consumer to hold what their budget number is close to the vest, because you can't really get a dialogue going. You can't start trying to work together to solve problems. If you say, it's really not prices and important. But yes, it is. It's important to everyone. I feel like if I were building a pool with you, I would want to let you know kind of how much my wife and I were thinking about what we could spend. And you could probably say, hey, for this much money, I can blow
this
your...
This is what I can do.
Blow your, knock your socks off. Yeah. Or if you want to stay in a more modest price range, it might look more like this, right?
I get the comment a lot, what's the ballpark?
Yeah.
What is the ballpark price for something like what we're looking for? And I'll give them a ballpark. And I'd rather tell them a little too high than come back and go, that was $10,000 more than what I told you. So I try to tell them that and try to really hear what they're saying. It is kind of amazing. People really don't really want to tell you their budget, because then they think that there's something wrong. Or then you have the customer that if they don't spend a lot of money, then you built a cheap pool.
Oh, right.
That's a nebulous question, though. Yeah. What's the ballpark? Because what's the ballpark cost of a car?
Yeah.
Could be there's a Lamborghini out in the parking lot right there.
You mean the one I bumped into a minute ago?
Don't worry, it wasn't mine, folks.
Or mine.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but so to attest to Sean's approach about budgets, I was the typical guy. I asked the ballpark question, and we talked numbers, And then that was, we of course exceeded our budget right out of the gate. And you worked with us, and you found a way to you know do what we needed to do to get into the budget. And that was an awesome experience.
There's things that a pool builder can do, especially with materials. We get charged, and I'm pretty sure we're all the same in the same book. Most pool builders calculate their pools this way. We get charged by the linear foot and the square foot. So I do a cost plus. That works really easy for me. It's really easy for the customer. I don't mark up everything, line item stuff. No, I don't do that. I think some companies do. I don't do that. I do a fair markup price to bring what we bring, the crews that we bring, the quality that we bring. You know, we feel like we use the best contractors in Houston.
You said you have a long-term relationship. A lot of these guys, like 14, 15 years, something like that.
Yeah, there are, and they literally are. You'll go to our website, and pools that are the older pools in there, with the same crews are going to build your pool today, and we that's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a good thing for us, and it's a good thing for them. It's a win-win situation for everybody. I get a lot of compliments about our crews.
The guy that did our rock work on the pool, that was awesome.
He was solid. Yeah. So, guys, we need to go to a commercial break, and we're going to be back in just about 30 seconds. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, and when we return, we're going to get a little bit more into the way that Sean runs his business and some of the things he's learned along the way.
Blue Bonnet Custom Pools, Inc. has proven to be one of the very best pool builders in the Woodlands, Spring, Hockley, Tomball, Magnolia, Cypress, and Katy areas for 40 years. With three generations of experience, we're focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction for every single customer. We will do everything we can to meet your expectations and beyond. From sheer descent to waterfalls, from raised hot tubs to water slides and more, Blue Bonnet Pools has it all. We are fully equipped to create your dream pool from a number of our default templates, as well as help you design your dream oasis with our custom pool packages. Contact us at 281-797-6643 or visit us on the web at bluebonnetcustompools.com.
And we are back with the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. And always, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin, and we're here with Sean of Blue Bonnet Custom Pools. So what I want to get into now is some advice, some things that we can learn from you. And some of this might apply to a business owner that's seasoned, that has a well-established business, but we also have young aspiring entrepreneurs. We have entrepreneurs that maybe they've not yet found the confidence or validation to launch their idea. Give us maybe some of your knowledge or wisdom of what you would say to a young entrepreneur that has a dream, has an idea, but they haven't started yet.
That's a big question. It is a good, very good question. I think it depends on their personality a lot. But I think just the wisdom of it would be to, you know, try not to hit the moon the first year. You know, just work your, you know, there's a great saying that says, do not despise small beginnings. Small beginnings are a good thing. I learned that. I've learned that over all these years. And truthfully, I'm just going to be transparent. I didn't want to be a great big pool company. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of oversight.
Do you do what, 10 or 12 a year?
Well, more than that now. But yeah, 10. We started. Well, I never advertised back when I was doing your stuff.
Yeah,
everything was word of mouth, and I'm very happy with word of mouth. I'm very happy with the results of building pools, and it makes you a nice income. You're not having to work, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours a day. I mean, my sons do, when we're on the job, when we're building a pool, we are on the job every day for every crew. You know, there's like 10 things to do on a build from start to finish. And, we're there. We're there. We might not be there all day, but we're going to be there with the crew, answering questions of the homeowner. If they see something they have a concern about, we're answering those questions, trying to stop a problem before it starts. But just to be there to that communication, I've learned is critical. But for a young person starting out, you're just going to have to get your. I mean, there's so many. That's the thing that's the problem in with starting. It's hard to start, but once you get your foot, if you get to build two or three or four Maybe 1 year you built, so you've got something to show people. You've got the track record.
Yeah.
People want somebody with a track record. When they hear I've been in business, or we've been in business this many years, you know, my father was a pool bit, my third generation, that says, that speaks volumes of just the obviously the longevity of what we do and where we're, where we've been, where we're going, seeing the changes within the industry, but still staying the same, having that work commitment, that that honesty with the customer, going the extra mile, making sure our crews are taken care of. It's got to be a win-win situation for everybody, from contractors to especially homeowners, obviously. So, but just to start the work and just work the work.
Yep. So I heard. Don't be afraid to get started. Don't be afraid to start small and build. And don't be afraid to start at the bottom. And honestly, that's a bit of a problem, I think, with a lot of young people about expectations. You know, they want to come into the company at the middle level. They want to come in at the top level. And the entrepreneurs that we interview on this show, they've all been the person that was willing to, you know, sweep the floor, do whatever, you know, clean the toilet, whatever it takes in the beginning. You got to be able to do whatever it takes to get started, correct?
So that's a key takeaway I had from Sean's comments, is that you got to stay close to execution. If you're going to run a business, you got to be in the details day to day.
Do you outsource of any of your work? Or is
all
of
it.
You actually outsource all
of
your work?
Yeah, we general contract. We have a crew for everything.
Right, okay. And you keep a close eye on them.
And we do. And communication is key. Like any relationship, because we try to build on relationship. Is important. Again, those people can say, you know, good things about you or bad things about you. If you don't communicate, it's almost death to a
company,
to a builder.
Yeah.
I just would like to say too that I think in today's world, which is unfortunate, and I'm 69 years old, so I'm spending all this time, almost 50 years or so in the pool business. I've lived through it, seen it, but Today's young people seem to want the check.
Yeah.
Yes.
Show me the money.
They're not doing it because they love the work. They're doing it because they want the
check.
Pay.
They want the pay, which is good. I mean, checks are good. Everybody wants to have a check, and somebody wants to make money. But I think there's a price. There's something you've got to establish yourself to be that trustworthy. I'm on top of this. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I know what I'm talking about. Know your product. Know what you're trying to sell. It takes time. I mean, they would do well to probably sell swimming pools, and I think a lot of the companies that are out there today, not many of them started as salesmen, and saw the money that was to be made in the business, and there's some people making a lot of money building swimming pools.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, they live in big houses.
I like the idea of the owner coming around there to have a look at your pool, as opposed to a salesperson who just wants their commission.
Sure, I do too.
Well, and even on service and maintenance, I would call up Sean, you know, the first year or so after the pool.
That's brilliant.
And he'd hook me up and get somebody out there. Or do it myself. Or do it yourself. You did it, that's right.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Sean. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you would say are unique to your business that, you know, in building pools that, you know, we were talking seasonal earlier. I don't know if that's one, but what's some of the things that you kind of have to deal with that on a routine basis that maybe you wish you didn't have to deal with?
Well, like in any good, successful businesses, competition is a good thing, but it can be very hard to deal with some of the competitors. I'm not saying anything bad about any of them, but I'm just saying that can be a problem. I've had customers tell me, well, so-and-so pool company told me that this was going to be $1,800 for a bubbler. I'm thinking, what? $1,800 for a pipe that blows, you know. I mean, just that. So, again, the money thing is a big thing. We've checked with five other pool companies. We've got five other bids in, and I'm thinking, what am I doing here?
Yeah, they're haggling with you.
Yeah,
they're kicking tires
at this point, and I don't get involved.
Do you try to compete on price, or do you just not get into that?
I give
game?
Them my best price. I tell them this is my best. This is what it's going to take for me to be in business.
Yeah,
you know, basically, here's what the price is. Like I tell them, I'm not the most expensive, and then it's verifiable if they're getting more than two or three or four bids. They'll see that the prices can be. I just was with some people last week, and they came in. One company came in at $80,000 for a pool that we can sell and make money. I think good money, you know, for in the mid 50s.
Wow.
So you...
Big range there.
There's a big range. I mean, you know, and a lot of them, they'll qualify you by saying how much do you want to spend, and that it's not the money they want. They're not even going to talk to you. But that kind of opens up the playing field for us. Yeah. That gives us an opportunity to come in and not lowball, but to give somebody the right value. Yeah. I have a thing about looking at myself in the mirror every day, y'all. I mean, I really do, but...
So are your competitors not really working the same way as you do in terms of cost plus? Is it just they think that they can extract, you know, 50% margin or whatever, and that's what they go for? Or
they've made a reputation of that, and they make a reputation of selling these high-end pools. Whistles and bells galore, I mean, everywhere. Cleaning systems that are not even necessary. I mean, there's not even a tree in the backyard, and they're selling $10,000 cleaning systems, which is okay.
Yeah, just to rack it up.
Price up, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like in anything else, integrity really matters, and you know, working with someone that runs their business with some ethics and principle matters not only probably at the point of construction, but all throughout the years going on as you enjoy the pool. I want to ask a question about running your business, because whether your business is a pool business or we interview people in every walk of life, every sort of business, but do you run yours from a set of practices and principles, a business plan or a set of metrics? Do you run it? Some businesses have a, you know, certain sort of operating system, or how do you calibrate how you're doing and how your margins are, and how do you evaluate your business as you kind of oversee that on a periodic basis?
For me, and this company has been having my wife as the administrator.
Okay,
teamwork. You need strong administration. You need strong oversight, watching where the money goes, how it comes in. Because basically, this is money in, money out.
Cash flow, yeah.
It's a cash flow thing, big time. And so having that strong administrator... I'm the go be with the people person. I'm the guy that can oversee the actual work being done and do my part that way. But to have a strong administrator, and
she's the real power.
What's her name in case we? Yeah, what's her name in case you're out? You know,
you don't want to mess with her.
Mrs. O'Hearn.
you want to deal with me? No,
Mrs. O'Hearn.
Mrs. O'Hearn. Charlotte is her name.
When she calls you, you jump. It sounds like.
Yeah, she says ice cream. I say what flavor?
Yeah, there you go. That's great. So one of the things I was always interested in is not having a regret when we put in our pool. So what's the biggest mistake that homeowners are making when they, you know, get a pool into their yard?
The biggest mistake, there's probably a few, Tom, but maybe location of the pool, backyards that really aren't suited. That's not very many in this day and time. We can clear trees, we can raise pools out of the ground, we can do all kinds of different things, but location of the pool, or trying to think they have to spend this much money or the tiniest bit. In new construction, the hard part for us is everybody, and I mean everybody, goes over budget when they build a new house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no money left for the pool. They want the pool, yeah, but they don't have
you're
the
money. You're at the end.
You know, so I got to start squeezing to make it work for not only myself, but for them. So that you have to get creative in that stuff, but you try to bring them the most they can have for the price they want to pay.
So the most bang for the buck.
Yeah. So the reason I ask that question is because how do you manage your customers' expectations and trying to tell them you can't do it this way or you need to consider doing it that way? That's got to be an art.
Well, it's just a part of the conversation in the beginning. You've learned how to talk to them about, okay, this is going to be a problem. We need to design around this or with this in mind of how we can make this all work for this backyard and for what you're seeing and what you're wanting. The wants get really, really, really big. I can tell you this. I work probably 98% with the housewives, with the women.
See, what I'd do is I would actually tell you, this is how much money I've got. You work out the rest.
Yeah.
I just have no idea.
Just make
idea.
It work.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
There
just,
are people like that.
Yeah, you do it.
So the thing for aspiring entrepreneurs then is, you got to know your customer, and you got to be able to talk to your customer. You know, end up avoiding making mistakes. And,
yes, you got to talk the language to them. There is a kind of a pool, like in anything. There's a language that goes with it. But I think the design, the material thing is big. there's just so much to offer today, so much to offer in materials and of course the
lots
cost.
Lots of choices leads to lots of complication. Now, I have a question for you, Sean. This does not have to do specifically with pools. What I want to ask you is maybe some of the things in regards to business that you learned or maybe in your early years that you think would be helpful to another business owner.
For me, it was just stay the course. Mm-hmm. Mine was just continue to go forward the best way you can. It's a process. I mean, you go from 16 years old to obviously 69 years old, and hopefully you've learned something in there as you grow up and you mature. But you, I think just staying committed to what you know works for you, where you're happy, what makes you happy when you're working. I'm the type of guy that I need to look back and see what I've done.
That's a great pearl, yeah. Because if you're listening and you're an entrepreneur, you're going to get kicked in the teeth some days. And you know what? Some days you might be doing really well and making a lot of money. And you know, stay the course, I think, means, you know, you don't get too high when times are good. You don't give up and quit when times are down. You stay steady. I love that. And with that, we're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to be back in 30 seconds with our guest and Sean O'Hearn of Bluebonnet Custom Pools. And we will be right back. Nothing stirs the soul of automobile enthusiasts the way the word Ferrari does. Over 60 years of legendary success on the world's greatest racetrack and road cars of unmatched beauty, craftsmanship, and performance have made Ferrari the most coveted sports cars in the world. Ferrari's newest state-of-the-art boutique and design artillery design center is open in the Woodlands at 1501 Lake Robbins Drive. This is just two blocks east of Cinemark 17 in the Woodlands. Please visit and let us show you why there's nothing like a Ferrari.
All right, so Catherine, you're grinning. What are you grinning about?
What are you grinning about, Catherine?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're back. I want to talk about staying motivated. You know what? We're in the dog days of August. It's blasted hot out there. You got all these pools going on. You got people that love you, want you, need you. You know, you got all this stuff going on. How do you stay motivated to stay steady, like you said? What keeps you going?
Well, it's you've given your word to someone. You've signed a contract with someone, and you want to fulfill that obligation. You want to. Okay, I've said I will do this. You want to be a person of your word, and you want to fulfill that, and you want to do that, and that's rewarding in itself. At the end of the day, for me, y'all, is that I can look back, and this family is just excited about their swimming pool. I mean, you're filling it up with water, and the kids are already in it. It's not even full. I mean, it's just they just want to get in. They're so excited. They've waited 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it's been. So that is really the hook. That you've come in and you've changed a lifestyle for someone in their home, in their house, and that and one of the things I tell the people, I said, isn't one of the most amazing things to me when I was a kid, we grew up at the pool in our backyard pretty much, not our whole lives, but as we got to be teenagers and stuff. But one of the first things I'll never forget this was that I'm in my backyard in a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we had that.
You look at that, you see your house from inside the pool. And you think, this is pretty cool that I've got this swimming pool.
My wife says that all the time. I've never told you this before, but you finished our pool in November. And so my wife and myself and my son and my stepson, we said, we've got to initiate the pool. So we all just jumped in. It was 56 degrees. And we got right back out. But we all remember that moment, that first time.
His new nickname's going to be Polar Bear.
Yeah, it was.
That's like the summer in England, though.
I'm sure. That's nice and hot.
Can I just ask you a question? Because all you men are just taking over all the time. It's slightly annoying. Have you ever walked away from business? Have you ever had somebody who's been so hard that you just think, you know what, I can't help you? I can't do what you want me to do.
Yes. It's not very often.
No.
Because but it does happen. Never say never.
I'm not saying that to your detriment. I'm saying there are some difficult people.
No, there are people who do. They change. People change. Mm-hmm. And especially when they're spending a lot of money, or they perceive it to be a lot of money, or they just want to take over. Mm-hmm. They just want to take over. They want to micromanage. And I'm thinking, how many pools have you built?
and you might be thinking,
why am I here if you want to do this?
This is not my first rodeo.
Time to refer you to my competition.
That's true. Take this one.
How about the funniest or scariest story that you've ever had since you've been in business?
Funniest
or scariest? Yeah.
I can think of one right off the top of my head. We, you know, a few months ago we had a lot of rain, but this has been a few years ago in Tomball area. We built we dug the pool, and we had the steel. You put the steel inside of it. You make the webbing for the reinforcement before the gunite goes in. And we had like 6 or 7 inches of rain that one night.
Mm.
And where we dug out of the pool, where we came out, we call that the ramp. Well, when it rained, the water completely filled up the pool to the top.
Yeah.
To the top. Now, that was 9 feet of water.
Wow.
You have to dig a pool deeper than you're going to finish it. And that was pretty scary when I walked up and saw that a complete level pool of water.
Yeah.
We just dug
in
2 days ago. And what it had done, it had taken all the steel on one side of the pool and pushed it over inside the pool.
Start all over, wait it all dry out.
That's what it looked like. Yeah. That's what it appeared like. And I thought, oh, this is not good. And the homeowner was kind of freaked out, and everybody's kind of in a panic, you know. But my steel guys, they saved my life. They drained all the water out. They mucked out the mud, and they straightened all the steel right back up again.
Wow. Our pools after Ike, it was the same thing. It didn't fill up all the way, but they had to go in and drain everything out with a big pump and then, you know, fix the steel.
So that's where you come to your relationships. Those steel workers must have had a good relationship to you to be able to, you know, to help you to do that.
You know, we take care of those guys. We were very good about, we found that it's just really good to take care of them.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that. So for entrepreneurs out there, if you're going to start some sort of a construction business or something where you rely on contractors, so I have a lot of friends that build homes, and they are always complaining about contractors and theft and lack of reliability and all of that. So it sounds like you have a really good team of contractors.
That's the key, Tom. And it's been the longevity of them getting to know them and them knowing us, and they know without a shadow of a doubt they're getting paid. And within a short period of time.
So that's where you come from, the strength of your wife. She looks after
She
the cash.
Does. Yeah, she wants to know where those invoices are.
Plug for the ladies. Yeah. So one of the business books I read one time talked about internal and external customers. So your external customers may be the people buying your home, but you have internal customers too. It might be employees of the firm. It might be your trades and your vendors and your subcontractor relationships. And it talked about the importance of those internal relationships, that you cannot neglect your internal relationships for your company and focus all of your efforts about the external. That really, you know, meant a lot to me about understanding that.
Those are the intangible things, you know, that you do as you do business together and you work. And I had a lady, a customer next door to a house that we were building, and she said, when I saw the way you treated your crews, she said, that I knew I wanted you to build my pool.
Mm. Wow.
And it was just a matter of stopping and talking to him. I remember giving one guy a cowboy hat one day. I was wearing it. It was hot. And I said, here, you take my hat. And he loved it. You know, he just thought it was great. But it's just, you just treat people like you want to be treated. I don't care who they are. And it really comes back to you in a very positive way. And so just those are some examples. And I had another lady, real quick story about a lady that I had my deck crew out there one day, and it was hot in the summertime, and they're getting the decks ready. They're shoveling dirt, this, that, and they're whistling and singing, most of them, not all of them. And I walked up, and she came out, and she said, you know, I wish I could be that happy every day. And I said, you can.
There
it's
you
a
go.
Choice.
Yeah.
Whistle while you work.
Yeah, that's right. So just, you know, it just, and we're very, very fortunate, very blessed to have the people, that we have around us.
That's great. We've
developed.
That's wonderful. I'm getting some hand signals from our producer over there telling me to be mindful of the time. So we're going to kick it up a notch, kick it into gear, and try to move you through. Why don't we just go right into our hot or not section? And we're going to fire a few questions, kind of rapid fire at you, Sean, and just kind of give us your first thing you think of. And you could just say hot or not. So if I asked you, how do you feel about hiring family members, hot or not?
Hot.
Mm, yeah, your wife. Any other family in your business?
Sons.
Sons, wife and sons. Okay, and that's working out.
It's working out.
Good. It can work out very well. We've had other people say, uh-uh.
I think you're probably one of the exceptions, because usually it goes south a lot of times.
It does. And I think, the especially my father was hard on me because he wanted me to be successful. Mm-hmm. But in today's young adults, it's a different world. But my sons are have learned how to work, and that's the key. They're not afraid of work, and I love the team concept.
They've had a good example, and you know what? If you can make it all work in a family, even better, I say. So, business plan, hot or not?
Probably should say hot, but business plan has just been working the work, just doing the work.
As soon as the ink's dry, you're off course already, right?
Right.
So advertise your business, hot or not?
Hot.
Okay, hot. Good. Any words of wisdom there?
Word of mouth and referrals. That's the best.
That's what I heard.
That's what I was going to ask for as clarification. You're talking about like paid advertising, or are you talking about word
some,
of mouth?
We've done some paid advertising lately because the boys wanted to grow the business from 15, 20 pools a year up to 30, 40. Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very important. What was I going to say? And I just had a senior
paid advertising and referrals.
But the website. And the word of mouth is definitely, we still build on a lot of referrals.
Okay, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast. In case you've just joined us, this is the show where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. We're here in the studio today with Sean O'Hearn of Blue Bonnet Custom Pools. Producer is giving me some hand signals, and now a little stink eye that we need to move a little fast. Catherine, you had a question you wanted to ask.
The question I wanted to ask is, have you had any disasters, any heart-stopping, real big disasters that have really frightened you, with regards to pool building?
No.
No. Well done, then.
Beautiful. Okay.
Well done.
I know what that was. That was signal for a commercial break. We're going to go to commercial break. We'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live every Thursday at 4 p.m.
Is planning, saving, and investing for retirement been on your to-do list far too long? Then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put planning for your future off any longer. Get started today. Call us on 281-466-4843 or visit us at www.providentwealthllc.com.
Fee-based and financial planning and investment advisory services are offered through Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of
Texas. Insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies. And we're back. We've got two or three more minutes. You know what? We had so many questions to ask you, Sean. You know what? We all got chatty, chatty, chatty. We had a lot of questions to ask you, but we're going to end up running out of time. And we want to get to just a few more before we close up.
Sure.
And so, you know, people talk in business about working smarter, not harder. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that's, especially as you get older, that's definitely something you can start out, and I faced a little bit of this early on in my doing everything, trying to be wear all the hats and do everything, and found out at about the age 45 that I couldn't do that any longer.
I personally think if you work smarter, you don't actually have to work harder.
That's true.
Sorry, I do. I know some people don't, but if you manage your time and you manage people properly, you don't have to work harder if you're smarter.
But I want an unfair competitive advantage. I want to work smarter and harder. What do you think about that?
It depends.
You're a bit...
It depends.
We all know you're slightly different. So.
Whoa. That's one way of saying it.
That's the nice way, because we're on air.
So you have learned to work smarter...
I worked hard. My father always told me, work hard now so you can play later.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was good advice. I didn't really heed to that a whole bunch back then. I played pretty hard back when I was young. But that made a lot of sense to me, and it does today. Don't be afraid of the hard work. Just be consistent. Be disciplined in what you do. Be there when you say you're going to be there. Just be a man of your word. Just be a man of your word. And I think that goes a long way with people.
That quality in you came through when we met. And so I think that's probably what's carried you, into such success.
I think that of you as well, Tom, with you looking after me with my house. I trusted you. A nice man. You might not shout a lot.
You haven't seen the dark side yet.
Oh, I want to.
So, Sean, one question I had for you is maybe something that Charlotte probably should answer, but... your business is pretty capital intensive. So when it comes to, the whole financial management and how you work cash flow, in and out of the business, are you having to, you know, manage with financing from the outside, or do you do everything on your own? How does?
Fortunately, everything has been on our own. We've built up a working capital within our company. Of course, like you said, you know, it fluctuates, obviously, but it seems to have worked really well. If you have someone, again, the team concept, the strong administrator type overseer who can oversee that the finances and the goings on of the business every day is critical for me. I mean, it's such a lifting a burden off of me. She's built for it.
It's the backbone of your company.
It is. Really, it really is. Yeah. And she's very, very good about watching the finances and what's owed, what's not. I mean, she has a running ledger on everything.
So something that I'm inferring is that Charlotte probably makes sure that all the bills are paid before the owners, you, are taking money out of the company. And that's one of the things I always see a lot of young business owners do wrong, is they start skimming profit off the top and they don't keep it running.
And that is so easy to do. Yes, they think it's a bank. They think that thing's bottomless almost.
Right.
And there's just, well, that's the bank, and it's not the bank.
And they think it's theirs. It's not actually theirs. Their company is like their entity. It's different.
Yeah. If I could warn anybody out there, just, you know, use the money that you've set aside. Use your profit margin to live on, pay the bills on, and use your money wisely. Taking care of your people, because it'll go so far for you in the long run.
If you don't take care of your people, you're going to hit a wall fast.
Yeah, I'm trying to change people. Cruise is difficult in this industry.
Yeah.
So we have time for one more question. Catherine, do you have a good question you'd like to ask? Or I've got one, or you want me to go ahead with it? Okay, we were kicking around who's going to ask that. But, you know, you obviously mentioned, Sean, that you have some family that are working in the business, but it's not all family. You have other people that you depend upon. And whether it's hiring someone or really partnering with a trade or a subcontractor that you're going to really have a working relationship with to deliver service and value to the customer, what's the key to identifying and keep? What's the key to really landing those good relationships and hanging on to them?
Like, I think it's like anything else. You have to know who you're working with. You need to know who you're going to war with, basically. You need to be able to look them in the eye and know. And when you're interviewing these people, or if you're we get referrals to other crews and that do good work. People have asked me this one question. This will answer your question. They'll say, who's the best pool builder in Houston? The subcontractors are the best pool builders in Houston.
That's so nice that you recognize that.
Well, they are. And it didn't used to be that way back in the old days. It was all about the builder. Mm-hmm. Now it's become way, way more in favor of the contractors.
Get the right contractors and get everybody working together in a team, and it's going to come out well.
It comes out well. It just does.
I got to say, this was a great conversation. I think we could go on and on and on, but again, we're running out of time. We want to thank you for Sean for being on the show with us, and we want to thank you for the opportunity to learn about how you've built a successful company, one of the most successful pool businesses in the greater Woodlands, Houston, and actually go all out to Katy everywhere.
Half of Texas.
Yeah, right? He goes all over.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Tell our listeners one more time about how they would get in touch with you.
Well, they, again, go to our website, you know, bluebonnetcustompools.com. They can contact me personally at 832-428-6364. Tom has that number from probably 10 years ago.
Speed dial. Yeah.
So, all right.
Peter broke.
Great show about entrepreneurship. Great show about pools. We gave some great nuggets and takeaway. We're going to shoot our post-show wrap-up. We want to thank everyone for tuning in, and don't forget to join us every Thursday. We are broadcasting this show this week from Provident Wealth Advisors, but we'll be back soon in the Ferrari dealership. They had some construction or some constraints there, but we'll have our show. We'll be back at Ferrari at our next show. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real. This life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'm a lead the charge. Like a federal, fell in my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.